Thank you, Primo. Yeah, it was wonderful. Your voice was so high that it made my throat sore a little bit. No. Just because you were singing, it made my throat sore. I couldn't sing like that. Oh. But because you were singing like that, was it so high for you as well?
A little bit.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. But it was still beautiful. It's always beautiful when you sing to us and permit us to sing with you as well, Primo. Oh. I want to thank you for singing bhajan, chanting bhajan before the satsang. You know, I was considering this thing about thinking. I've been talking about it for about 25 years now. And I was wondering, do you ever think about God? Do you ever spend some time thinking about God? That would be called, with your attention towards God, that would be called worship. Just the attention. And that you would give up a moment of, or a few moments, who knows, maybe a whole day, maybe the rest of your life, which would be really good. If you gave up some time for that, that would be called sacrifice. And these are old archaic words. And I have been reading the Upanishads again, which are just like really good friends. And the language is archaic. It's archaic. It's old. But it's said that, you know, the further you take a language from its original, the more watery it gets and less meaningful it gets. So I read to you from the Svevastara Upanishad from the Yajurveda. In just a line, because wherever I open up the Upanishads, I'm ready to read it. It's very magical. So it says, one who knows God, God without beginning or end, who is present and pervading all that appears to be in the midst of chaos of the world, who is the creator of all things, who is endowed with countless forms, one who knows radiant Lord, sole pervader of the universe, is released from all their fetters. It means all of the burdens that one creates wash away, and all of the burdens that one doesn't create wash away. So I wondered, you know, the people who I'm speaking to are deeply committed to enlightenment, and this enlightenment or this awakening, what awakening is not lesser than enlightenment. Awakening is, since enlightenment has no measure, awakening is doing things differently and getting a different result that's very, very, very beneficial to your life. Mm-hmm. So God, the origin of the very air and the very breath that you breathe, do you ever think in that direction? Do you ever consider that all that you're experiencing is due to that origin, that great mystery within all things and within you? Do you ever take the time for that? To really perceive the creation everywhere and wonder how it ever came into being. And the emergence is, it's an interesting point, merging with God, because there's no time that you're not. And yet people deny it and doubt it and have to go through incredible processes. Meditation, kindness, compassion, free of doubt, deep, profound, and unmeasured love, just to rediscover themselves. And I was considering, with all of the thinking that goes on, the creating fear, consistent mental chatter, does one ever stop to think of God? And merging really means, like the Upanishad says right here, one who knows the radiant Lord, the sole pervader of the universe, is released from all their fetters. To really get to know that, you're constantly surrounded and within you, and nothing can be without that. Do you ever give that consideration, like every day? Like when you see the seasons change, do you recognize the timing of the great cosmos? Do you ever come out of yourself, out of your thought chatter, to consider the beauty that is within you and within all things and everyone? That would be a great way to thin thought. I mean, I can just imagine watching a blade of grass just bend in the breeze is already a lot. And we get used to the beauty of small things, and they begin to feed us. And then we also give it more and more attention, worship. Attention is worship. Swami Muktananda used to say, where your thoughts are, that's what you're worshiping. I loved it. If people really recognized that, they would probably turn their thoughts elsewhere. So the emergence is really just relieving yourself of ignoring the truth within you. And that it comes by love. It comes by love, and it comes by ceasing to doubt. And you remember that the great Mahasiddha Tilopa said, to deny your divinity is arrogance. And I felt that that was a very wonderful and direct message for the great Mahasiddha to leave for us. How does water get wet? How does it even flow? Who designed that? How did it ever come into being? What is space? What is multiple universes right here in a molecule? What kind of divinity, radiant Lord, I love that, radiant Lord, archaic language, but so meaningful, relieves you constantly and completely of the burden of denial. Mm-hmm. So I thought I would read that, a bit of that Upanishad to you, which always inspires me like a very dear friend. These great old scriptures are like really good friends because they're straight. There's no guessing. There's no new thing to consider. It's all memory of the way it truly is. So there we are. Greetings to all of you. And I'm ready for a conversation. Michael O'Shea, let's go to Michael.
Hi, Shanti.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. I'm well. I'm a little perplexed here because I'm talking to you, but I'm seeing just myself on the screen. So
let me. Well,
and I don't want. Oh, there you are. There you are. I've got you now.
We are. Yeah. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
I saw Margaret a little while ago. You can tell Margaret I saw her.
Oh, well, she just said hi to you.
Hi, Margaret.
So, you've lightened my heart. We haven't even started yet. So the thing I wanted to run by you was you know, I've been a couple of weeks ago when I was with you, I had talked about, you know, I've been re-listening to the Mary Magdala intensives.
And, Mary Magdalena. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Tree of Life and, you know, actually Margaret and I were listening to them over the weekend, or at least during the week, and I was so gratified to hear that, you know, you had talked about, you know, we go up and down the tree, and I had kind of, you know, I kind of see this ascension, and there's a guardian at each bough, and each bough represents, you know, either ignorance or fear, or, I mean, I just forget all the ones, but,
sure.
But what I noticed in yesterday morning was such a vivid example. I got up and I was feeling very anxious, and you know, I haven't, because of COVID, I haven't worked in about 6 months, and I finally have a couple of big projects coming up, and I was feeling anxious about them, and you know, Margaret, of course, you know, said that's the guardian.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and I thought, and almost immediately out of my mouth, I was going to say, well, I've got to try. And then I remembered, you know, like that trying will not get you past the guardian at all.
That's right.
I thought, well, what is the thing? And what I remembered you saying was, I'm just not going to go there. I do not see you. I don't, you know, it's like, and I just did that and it worked. I mean, I was able to go on.
Hold on. Of course it works. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Well, but it was just such a different way of, you know, because it was just such a different way of engaging with something like that, to just like, you know, I don't recognize you at all, and you know, I've got things to do here, and I went about my day, and because you know, I'd always in the past, I'd always think, oh, this is something I have to work on, and I have to, you know, keep trying, you know, and it just seems so much simpler.
It's so much simpler, Michael.
Yeah.
And this. Oh, we got 2 minutes. Hold on. Gayatri. Okay. You know, this call to spirituality is doing things differently. And these great masters, Magdalena, the Gospels, the Gnostics, the Buddhists, you know, all the mystics, the Hindus, the Christians, whoever, laid a pathway for human beings, gave incredible gifts and incredible hints how to move along and how to unburden yourself. And isn't it really the freedom from the burden of thinking and worrying and all of that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And yeah. And, you know, to me, the experience for me was just such a different way to frame it, you know, as something that, you know, I have to tangle with and fight against, and all, you know, in the narrative of the Tree of Life, it's, you know, she, I just forget the language, but she just, you know, it's like, I don't recognize you, you know, I don't.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Once that's dissolved, the guardian is there saying, go back, you're unworthy, you can't do this, you haven't. But she does say in the body of the document that you have this fruit fully. You know, you have to digest it. Mm-hmm. So because you were ready to completely dismiss anything that was going to burden you, hold you in a place, then the guardian, according to Mary Magdalena's gospel, disappears.
Mm-hmm.
And you're free of the guardian as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you just move along in a different way. And it is so simple. So mm-hmm. Now that you've seen the result.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I'm it was that thing about, you know, it's not just one direction up the tree, I think, because, you know, the guardians of the different levels will show up. I mean, they
once they're done, they're done. We're not going to go back to those guardians anymore and be tested by those guys anymore. They're now hungry ghosts.
Mm.
Do you know the hungry ghost story from the?
I don't know.
The hungry ghosts are huge. They have bellies about as big as a universe and a mouth about as big as a guppy. And they can never get fulfilled. So if we don't pay attention to our heart and want to go another way, those guardians will never get full. You'll meet them every single time. And, you know, it is a mechanism within yourself that says, I'm really not ready to go there yet. And why is that? I have no idea. Actually, after years of satsang and good company and sangha and India, I have no idea why somebody doesn't at least move along a little bit. Because as you saw, it only takes this much.
Isn't that
amazing?
It is amazing. Yeah.
And whatever you're fighting with is always going to be there so that you can fight with it. It'll stay right here. All of these ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know it's lovely. Yeah. Yeah.
It is beautiful. Mm-hmm. We're waiting for you to come to Taradasacha.
Yes. You, well, we're on our way.
I hear you. And at the right time, you'll be here.
Yes,
no
we will
doubt.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, are you good in body?
I beg your pardon?
Yeah, is your body good and strong?
Yeah, my body's good and strong. Yes, thankfully. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm in good shape and just that much better for being with you today. Yeah.
Yeah. I love you with all of my heart.
Yeah,
you
I love you too.
A good hug and tell her Shanti Mai loves her too.
I will, and I love you very much. Yeah.
You too. Take care, Michael.
Thank you, Shanti Mai.
Thank you too. So let's go to Layard. Layard? There he is. How are you doing? Are you good?
I'm fine, Shanti May. Thank you. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm really good. Make sure that you stay close to your microphone so it doesn't skip too much and so I can hear you.
Okay. While I'm talking to you, I'll switch to my my headphones. I send all my love and gratitude. You know, this last couple of weeks, I've been trying to pray for that gentleman who a couple of weeks ago expressed that sometimes he didn't have enough food.
That would have been. Let me see if I can get his name back.
From Brazil.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wanted you to talk a little bit about what prayer is, because
What prayer is?
Prayer.
Oh yeah, I'm really glad that you say that.
Yeah, because I don't feel as confident about knowing what prayer is. I know what meditation and all the other disciplines are, but I've never given too much attention to prayer, and I want to do that more often.
Well, my view of prayer is that it is the outpouring of the heart. It is, I pray a lot. And I just love this. It's a versation. You know how they say conversation? Con means with and versation means pouring. And it's Italian, I guess. That's what I was told by an Italian person, that versation means pouring. And there's something incredibly sincere about it. And I was considering this today with the thinking story and reading the Upanishad. When people have this versation, this outpouring of sincerity and deep desire, passionate desire, sweetness for someone else, a wish that someone will be very well indeed, very well, then this is really intimate to the heart. And my view is that sometimes I sense it could be that people have this conversation and have a belief laying on top of it that, like, they're just talking to space. Well, if they're talking to space, that's wonderful. That no one is listening or there is no listening, but the one that's listening actually created the ears. And when I'm in that kind of intimate versation, I feel that every leaf, every molecule, every time, past, present, and future, all of the stars, everything that appears to be is leaning in to the prayers and listening deeply. And one of the things about prayers is that we say swaha, which means let it go, put the blessing on top and let it be. Now we have brought this into being and now we release it into consciousness, into the heart of God. We can say God. It's a, we'll talk about that in a minute. Into the heart of the universe, into the heart of the great mystery, from one's own heart, which is, there is no distance. And that we have to be free of the prayers that we offer into consciousness, because we don't know a person's karmic field. We don't know about the action of the universe, their life, and a sense of what's required to teach them well. And we let it be. We let it be. As a matter of fact, Maharaji would say not to pray too much on something, but to put it out with all of your heart and all of your passion and to renew it every once in a while, but not to stay on it, because when you do stay on it too much, you're kind of, it insinuates, it doesn't mean, but it insinuates that you have an expectation that something is going to be answered in the way that you want it. And the fact is, what's really interesting is it's often answered and not in the way that you could have ever imagined. Mm-hmm. And that is really beautiful. Yeah. So my view is, in the night, the stars are listening, even in the day. In the day, the light is everything, all of the trees and the waters and the earth and all of the solar system, and everything is listening, because that which we are offering, this intimate, passionate kindness to, has itself created the voice of the heart and the listening in the ears. So we must not feel that we're not heard.
So I almost heard you say it's like we're just tuning into what's already there. We're just visiting it.
The authority is beating your heart, not far away. Isn't that beautiful? And yet, as you say, this is the authority. This is the pervadence of all of time, space, everything that we can perceive, our very selves, all of nature, is the face of God. It's present everywhere. In your face, in the design of your face, in your heart, in your breath. It's really important. It's very intimate. Very intimate indeed. And sometimes I wonder, am I just making this up? Well, if I'm making it up, I'm making up a much better life than some of the ones I see around me. So I'll stick with it. But my guru taught me, and he showed me, and he instructed me for prayer. And that's what we do. That's what we do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Love and appreciation. Thank you.
Thank you. Namaste. Let's go to Nicholas. Hey, Nicholas. What's happening? I'm coming on here just as soon as Antisha can get me on. I'm coming on.
Hey, Shanti Mai.
How are you doing?
I'm very well.
Are you? Well, that
yes.
makes me really happy. You can't even imagine how happy that makes me. As soon as we're done with satsang, I'm going to go outside and jump around. It's so good to see you. How come you're so good? I need to know.
Because I feel grounded, and I feel so in love with Melina and good with her.
You better say that. Hey.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear what I said about not fighting with women?
Yes.
You find this beautiful love between you and build upon that. I'm really happy to hear what you're saying. Stay with it. Build it. It's precious. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so precious.
It is.
Yeah.
And you look really good. You look really good.
Thank you. I feel good.
Yeah. Are you going to write to me again sometime?
Yes.
And give me all the details?
Yes.
I know we're on Zoom. I know we can't talk too far out, but that painting behind your head, who did that?
I don't know.
Oh, it's
good. Not mine.
Okay. So what else do you want to say?
I wanted to ask you to speak about the Tao.
The Tao.
Yeah, I've been, it's just coming alive for me more and more lately. And it's so nourishing and beautiful.
It is.
And, I'd love to hear you speak about it.
It is. I'm really glad that you go there. You know, the Taoists are, wow, they're really far out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? Yeah, you know that the Taoists, the old masters would turn into golden carp after they passed away. They would take the bodies of golden carp, and then they were so as bright as they could be, they would jump the waterfall and turn into the dragon. The Taoists are really, they live in a world of real deep wonder. And you know, my sense is that in any great sutra or teaching, the first sentence is the most important. And what did Lao Tzu say? He says, the Tao that can be told is not the eternal Tao. The name that can be named is not the eternal name. The name is the mother of 10,000 things. 10,000 things used to be a big deal. Now it's trillions, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you remember that. And, Lao Tzu was great. You know, he spoke about, and yogis speak about, and this is good for you, maybe we have spoken about it before, is to get a really hard shell. Not to be easily offended, not to be easily affected, mm-hmm. and yet inside be like liquid light and full of heart. And this is how a yogi lives. And Lao Tzu spoke about in the Tao Te Ching, he said, that the master or the yogi can go into a town and he might not be seen. It's not important to be seen. It's more important not to be seen in some instances. And he said that yogi, a tiger cannot sink its claws and a rhinoceros cannot pierce its horn. And that, what that means is tough on the outside means not so easily knocked over, not so easily offended, not so easily angered, not so easily, whatever, you know, that everything, it's a great teaching for everyone that you're not so easily ouch, 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 which in this world right now, everybody wants you to be really ouchy. Identity politics means you should be ouchy. You should be hurt at every turn so that you'll be weak. And when you're hurt easily, it weakens your soul. So my view is to tell you that Lao Tzu, what comes to me from Lao Tzu is to be on the outside very tough, like a rubber, like you have on a rubber suit. I used to tell the disciples, like having alligator skin, crocodile skin. Mm-hmm. And on the inside, as soft as space, as soft as a flower petal, as soft as water. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. you have that opportunity to be intimately soft, yet not affected so much by the life outside. Does that make sense to you?
It does. How do I develop that?
Well, you just do.
Okay.
First off, you don't take people's words as though they define you. That's a good start.
Mm-hmm.
And you say what you mean and you mean what you say. When you say you're a loving person, be a loving person. And the deeper you go to your heart, the more actually protected you are. And the more you can be a giver, and you are. What about forgiveness? What about understanding? Those two things will help you a lot, because you'll cease to be hurt, even though the situation is not good. We don't condone it. We don't say it's fine, but we cut it away. And we cut it away so we can be free of it. And we can free the person of our energy connection. You understand? Forgiveness is really important. And we find that the energy of forgiveness is in the hara. You know where the hara is? About three fingers below your navel. Mm. Mm-hmm. And the forgiveness, the energy for true forgiveness rests there in the body. So if you want to really forgive, this is a very important point. And once you do, Nicholas, and I know you will, and I know you are, once you do forgive something as major as what you need to forgive, then you will be mastering that art, and you'll be very, very rubbery on the outside and very soft on the inside. People's words will not affect you as easily. The world will not affect you as easily, and yet you'll be outpouring of love. That is no joke. That's not just poetry. You can get the recording of this, you know.
It is. Yeah, I was just thinking I'm going to listen to this again.
Forgiveness, this forgiveness point is huge. Go ahead. You speak.
Oh, I was just going to say, I've never heard what you just said, that the energy of it is in the hara.
Yeah, it's in the hara. Mm. Mm-hmm. Isn't that beautiful? Mm. And it's the sound for it is hri, hri, H-R-I. Just like last week I was telling about hridaya, hridaya. Huh? This has to do with the deep heart of a person. And to repeat it is said to prepare you for self-realization. Hri, H-R-I, da, D-A, yam, excuse me, I have an M on the end there, Y-A-M. Mm. So this is the same hri, and it means to go. Hri means to go there. Let me see, what else does hri mean? It has to gather. So this means to gather your strength, and it's in the hara. And so the bij means seed mantra for that area is hri, H-R-I. And it will, if you will go to your hara and gather your strength there, you'll be supported in forgiveness. It needs to happen. If this doesn't happen, this has to happen with you. Has to. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. I know it. I've been through that wall. I've been through that initiation. I've been through that door. I've been through that gate. I know that one very well. For a long time, I held something, a deep pain in my heart that I really needed to release. Mm-hmm.
So, if that comes to mind, or if I'm feeling that pain, just come to my hara and repeat hri.
Yes.
And feel that energy that comes, and then
bring
them together.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. And tell me how it goes with you. I like to know if you ever really need it. But I feel that this forgiveness thing is very important for you. So it doesn't have to be only when you're hurting. The best time to forgive is when you're not hurting.
Okay.
Because it minimizes the pain of the hurt that can come with feeling those righteously hard feelings. We're never going to say that those feelings aren't true, but we do have to release ourselves from them if we want to move along. And right now you're in a very good space for that. Very good space. When you're in a loving space, that's the best time for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know. Either you keep it or you free it. And if you keep it, you suffer. And if you free it, it diminishes. Give it time.
Can I ask another question?
Of course.
What's the balance between just letting it go and freeing it versus, like I'm so steeped in like trauma work where you need to feel it through your system. Is that the same thing?
You felt it through your system already, Nicholas.
Mm.
From what you've told me, you've not only felt it, you've reacted to it and it hurts. And it's painful.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you need to seep your system through that?
Yeah, I don't
know. Well, I would say that you don't need any more.
Okay.
I would say enough is enough.
Okay.
Yeah. And right, so that you have those feelings, but you know, you're a bright young man who is really moving into a state of real deep love. You understand that. And you're in it right now. You say, I'm so in love. Wouldn't it be great to live like that all the time?
Yeah.
Well, it's time to let loose of it. And, you know, you'll have to take one path or the other. If you go that path where you dig it up again and again and again and reopen the sores and stitch it up and then scissor it open again and stitch it up and scissor it open and scratch it and move with it, then you have to go that way. But otherwise, you go this other way, which I'm suggesting to you, directing you. You can only go one way now. You can either just hurt or not. And it's not automatic. It takes a little time to diminish. We have a 2-minute Gayatri mantra. Join me. There's the bell. I want to read to you again from this Upanishad. First, I want to ask you a question. It is my take that you are a man who wants to live in the strength of love, and that's what you want to breathe, live, and offer in your life. Is that true, or am I just making that up?
That's true. Yeah.
Okay. Hold on. So, one who knows God, who is without beginning nor end, who is present and pervading all that appears to be in the midst of the chaos of the world, who is the creator of all things, who is endowed with countless forms, one who knows the radiant Lord, sole pervader of the universe, is released from all of their fetters. Prayer is really it's really effective. And to understand that there is a mystery within you, read the Taoism, read Lao Tzu, go for Lao Tzu, listen to Lao Tzu, read Lao Tzu again and again and again and again. Read about his life. Wikipedia has a really good article about him sitting outside of the gate of the city. So you take a look at that and make him your hero, and I will talk to you as often as you wish. And please write to me, and any details that you have, I want to know. I love you with all of my heart, and we can get through this really well.
Thank you, Shanti Mai. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
I love you too.
I love you too. Please write when you feel to write. I don't care what you say. You can say anything to me, anything. You know that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. Give Milena my love.
I will.
Give her a big hug.
I will.
Okay. And keep that heart buoyant on top of the water. Don't sink it down. Namaste. And if it sinks down, just let me know. We'll get on it.
Okay. Thank you.
You too. Namaste.
Namaste.
Lao Tzu. Peter and Gita? Yes? Hey, Peter. It's us. Though you, well, weren't you? Didn't I? Never mind. How are you?
Great. Yes, we just got out of the car half an hour ago.
Okay. Everybody here is greeting you well.
Yeah. Shanti Mai, when you talked this just now about thinking about God, about turning our thoughts to God.
Yeah.
It made me look at how I was thinking about God, and
good.
A little shock to notice that I saw God as a definition outside of myself.
Yes, that's right.
That I could see, okay, yes, God is in everything, but somehow I didn't include me.
Yeah, that's what the great Mahasiddha Tilopa said. And he reminded in a very strict and direct way to only put it outside yourself and not to acknowledge the divinity within your heartbeat, within the breath that you take, is arrogance. And I don't see you as arrogant, but he was so good about that statement, I felt, because people think it's arrogant to say that God is within everything and within me. But if you have to, it cannot be only personal. It has to be totally impersonal within every being, everywhere, at all times, without measure. So those eyes that see that that's within must see that that's within all that is. It cannot be personal, because that's called blindness.
I could see, yes, I'm not arrogant, but I can see that I have somehow the wish not to be arrogant.
Well, don't bother with that. That's the exactly. guardian. That's what Michael was talking about. There's the guardian standing right there saying,
yeah.
What's your wish? Why yeah. do you wish you weren't arrogant if you're not arrogant? It's a dichotomy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you drop that one in the bucket.
Okay.
And remember what you see in yourself, you must see in all beings.
Yes.
You must. Otherwise you're short-sighted.
Yeah.
And you're not short-sighted. Whether you like it or not, whether you agree or not, whether you love them or not, whether it's toxic or not, whether you're hurt by them or not, whether you love them or not, it is immeasurably total without any division or measure whatsoever. Please see that. And I'm really touched about what you say.
Thank you.
Could you hear me, Peter?
I could hear you, yes.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
I'm asking because of Zoom. I'm asking because of Zoom, not otherwise.
Yeah.
So keep your eyes open.
Yes. Yes, I don't think I had a question in it. Somehow it's just to notice that how I was thinking would somehow begin to smooth it out.
Well, it's already smoothed out, Peter. There's not much you need to do. You can't smooth out God.
Yes.
Yeah, he's not peanut butter. Well, yes, he is. No? It's beautiful, Peter.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Because why not sacrifice a couple thoughts a day to worship means put your attention on that everything that you're experiencing is deeper than you can imagine.
A little thing from today. A wasp fell into my yogurt.
Oh, okay.
And I fished him out and put him on my hand and had to put my hand up because he goes to the top. And I watched him for about 10 minutes cleaning himself. Amazing. This is just...
What? Yes, it is.
That we just don't notice half the time.
Peter,
it's beautiful.
What is it that has designed the wasp that saved his life, that created the brain and the ability to clean himself off? So simple,
yeah.
No?
Yeah.
This wonder is so beautiful because it puts you even with everything. And you still may not like everything,
mm-hmm.
but the love that you experience will not be measured high, low, more or less. And everyone is loved totally in their own unique way. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
You were loving the wasp. You didn't have to say, oh, I'm loving the wasp. Look at me loving the wasp. I love the wasp. But just that observation was a loving action.
Yeah.
Let's not even say it's an action. Let's just say it was loving. And when we look at the world that way, the world is going to have to change in that way. And everyone who changes, every person who will change even a little bit, like Michael said, you know, and like everyone who's spoken thus far, just a little shift Just a little shift. It's a time for awakening. Just a little shift will serve the world. Anything else, Peter?
Thank you. Yes.
Okay. I love you, Peter.
I love you.
And you too, Gita.
It was a wonderful timing, Terence Satcher. Thank you so much.
Of course. Yeah, you added to that for sure. Every person adds to the wonderful time here, contributes to the beauty of this place that we're sure of. Okay, I'm going to go on now.
Yes.
Namaste.
Namaste, Shantimai.
Hi, David.
I can't see you.
Are you there, David?
Am I here? Yes, I'm here. Are you here?
Okay. I am here. Well, okay. Sort of.
Okay, wait. How do I go so that I don't see just myself?
She will.
Okay.
Yeah, she'll deal with that.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, man.
Where are you, David?
Taos, New Mexico.
Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah. I love Dallas.
You've been here?
Yeah, of course.
Wow.
I love New Mexico, land of enchantment, thousands and thousands of rainbows, storms over there, the sun is here.
Okay. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
So I have missed satsang. I mean, I don't know if you remember, but I did. I was here.
Of course I remember.
6 weeks ago, something, 8 weeks ago. But I traveled. I traveled all the way to Vermont in a vehicle, lived in my vehicle to visit my young adult children. And so I was doing that for quite some time. I guess the reason I'm tuning in, again, a little bit like last time, is it's not so much a question as a sharing. It's almost a little bit of
please.
Yeah, it's a sharing, and of course I'm putting out for you that if you hear of something in what I'm saying that might have a question mark, please jump, you know, say something to me. So one of the things that comes up is I think it's very amazing and interesting that as the world of humans seems to be getting crazier and crazier, I'm feeling clearer and clearer.
Yeah.
Every moment.
Yeah.
And it's almost a little sheepish because so many people are struggling and I don't really that doesn't surprise me, but I don't say to them because I don't want it to feel awkward or something weird. Like, well, actually I'm doing really good. Not that I don't have my struggles, but I mean, I just feel like my energy, I feel my heart clearing. I feel a lot of clearing in my heart lately.
Yeah.
I went through a split up while I was away from these satsangs. I mean, it was brewing beforehand, but it finalized when I was away with a woman that I love dearly. We've been together 5 years. We still talk. We're still texting. We're still working it out. And I still definitely have some bumps in the road to hit on that. It was rough leaving Vermont to travel back here, traveling alone across America during COVID. I definitely pulled over on the side of the highway and cried really hard a bunch of times. But I was also astounded at how much has cleared and changed because of like 7 and 5 and 4 years ago, I was fighting for my life in these changes that were happening in my life and these transformations. And going back to Vermont, seeing my young adult kids, seeing my love, having a split up with my love and then coming back to this vast desert alone, man, those would have been the triggers that might have taken me out in the past. And I couldn't.
Can I come in now? Can I come in for a minute here? Please. They may have been, okay, and though they may have been the triggers of the past, they're the very steps inward that you're taking now. And it means a turning. And I want to say one more thing, and I want to listen to you.
Okay.
Hear what you have to say. This is a time that the indigenous people have known, the old traditions have known, the old spiritual traditions have known that this is a time, and it's going to be rough, that the world is awakening and enlightening, and it, you know, it takes, my guru said it's going to be very hard before the brightness comes, but people are lifting themselves in it, and they're being lifted out because of their elationship with their heart, and the willingness not to any longer fight or struggle to be who they are. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, please.
There's a really, I mean, it kind of ties into what you were saying just with the last callers, Gita and Peter.
Peter, mm-hmm.
About feeling your own divinity is not, you know, if you feel it in a selfless way and for all things, it's not arrogant. So, in that same vein, in that same feeling, I feel this really strong sense, intuition, feeling that, the phrase, I came here for this comes up right now.
Yes.
I mean, when this started happening in March, it was like, I've been feeling this since I was 15 years old, and I keep thinking something is about to be that through my whole adult life, and it never quite is. And to make a distinction, as if there's really a distinction, but there was an energetic shift this spring, and it did suddenly feel like whatever I came here for, some contract I made or something ahead of time, like this is it. And I can see very deeply and with huge gratitude that, like, what I've gone through, all of my growth in the past 7 years feels almost like a divine intervention to clean out, to get ready.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And the divine intervention is only going to occur for one who is ready. And you know what I say? You know what I say, David? What I've seen? Some of the rioters are going to come out like diamonds.
A purging, a popping of the pus or something?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can just see some of them just going like that and coming right out of that duality. And that passion they have is going to be beneficial for them rather than not. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where from here, you know. I mean, it's only been in the past week that suddenly things, I realized, I didn't even realize it was happening necessarily, that like the crying, a little bit of fear, a little bit of anxiety, you know, just facing the unknown is myself standing here, not in this partnership now. I just realized it had kind of stopped boiling, and maybe I can feel the water is churning, but by no means do I feel like totally solid. There's just this crazy trust in my heart down lower, that even when things are like, you know, like I have shudders, fears, and questions. There's like this, and it ties into what you opened up with, thinking about God. I wanted to say, like, for me, what's been happening is it's a chicken and egg thing. Like, I don't try to think about God anymore.
You're not going to figure it out. Nobody's going to figure this out. They're just going to have the experience on an immeasurable sense of without border. But mentally, our language does not handle it. That's why it becomes so subtle. Then you get to see. It's not incomprehensible, but it's not logical. It's not illogical. Logic has nothing to do with that. Logic is in the world of logic, not illogical. And now we're getting abstract. I just want to say to you that you are in the perfect place for perceiving that all pervading, exquisite simplicity. And you have faith in that, and you will be guided. You are guided. You are guided well. And you don't have to wonder. You're always living in the unknown. COVID should have shown that. We're always in the unknown, and we must not fear it, because we're in the unknown every single second of our life. These things become very clear, and we no longer fear them, because it's always been that way. That's why.
Exactly. I felt a very strong sense of being home the second I turned this on. Brought some tears in my eyes. I was like, wow. I've been missing while gone. I've been really keenly sensing, like, while traveling, like, ooh, I want to be at the satsang. But I was rather surprised this morning when you came on screen. I just was like, I felt like I was home with my family, with my mother.
You are. And you know, David, what's going to be really beautiful, and what is really beautiful, is that these sages, we don't have to call them sages soon, but the people who cease to deny any longer are going to have marvelous conversations, lots of laughter, teasing each other, being silly, exalting our heart, praying for others, eating food, and just living.
You are unbelievably spot on. I mean, unbelievably spot on. Just in the past 7 days, 10 days is the first, like, I'm feeling it's so absurdly mundane, but like I am relaxing into my body and my life in a way that I never felt before.
Good for you. Of course,
just making a meal and sitting in this house, because I'm building a house for myself, and just sitting in a house and just...
You're in one of the most beautiful places on earth. That's another blessing. Me too. I'm in one of the most beautiful places on earth, in the Pyrenees. So yeah. This is also good food. And I want to suggest, I cannot tell you, but I want to suggest that every once in a while, you just pour your heart out for the world and blessing the world, and join this, what is called the light. I know that's kind of new agey, but really join the incredible, incredible populated prayer for the world right now, for that everyone comes through this seeing very clearly and living in their heart, please.
I have been doing that, actually. And it's just coming. It's just coming in a way I've never felt it so strong before.
That's natural. Oh. Good for you. Good for us. Good for us. I'm listening. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Thank you. I just love what you had to say. Thank you. Namaste.
Namaste.
Yay! Yay. Let's get Hari Kirtan on, and we go pretty soon, because it's a long satsang, and that's good. Hey, Hari.
Hello. Namaste. Shanti Maya.
Hello. Namaste to you, Hari Kirtan. How are you? Where are you? Where are you?
I'm outside of Moscow right now.
Uh-huh.
And to be honest, I feel just before satsang, I was experiencing grief and almost devastation because there are some really cruel things happening.
Okay. Let's always be honest so we don't have to say to be honest. Let's right. just be so honest that we never have to say that, okay?
Yeah.
Well, what's cruel and not good? What's happening?
Actually, there is a whole bunch of things, but like a few days ago, a person, an innocent person that was brave enough to investigate corruption in Russia, he was poisoned.
Yeah, I saw that.
And...
I saw that. Mm-hmm. Well, that's happened before, hasn't it?
Yeah, with other people.
You can only be poisoned once if you die. So
there were attempts. There were attempts earlier with him as well, but not.
Well, God bless him anyhow. But you know, if you're going to be an opponent of of Putin, then you're going to have to be very careful. No, this is politics, and everybody has their last breath, not by Vladimir Putin or the army or the car running over, but everyone has their last breath by the great governor. Nobody knows their last breath, how they're going to pass, and what can you do about it?
You know, just the scale of it, and because he was the main leader of opposition, like just the, you know, like, of course, I can think in these philosophical terms, but it's
not philosophical terms. Excuse me.
Sorry.
No. You're not going to get away with that. This is not philosophical terms. This is not an idea. This is a way of life, a way of seeing the every breath. It's not over here sometimes and over there sometimes. It's here all the time. And I understand your pain because I can imagine if some of the people who I would, you know, be sad that they would leave. Yes, but what can you do about it?
Well, at the moment, the only thing I can think of is to pray because he's in coma. Like it's not...
He hasn't died.
He's in coma right now.
Okay. I thought he had passed away. Hari Kirtan, why do you let it bother you so much? Put it in the hands of God. What can you do? You're not his nurse. You can pray for his nurse and him and his family and put something really lovely into consciousness around him. It can work. You know, if it's destined to work, it will work. How are you?
Yes, so these events, they seem to really, really affect me on it. Like the things happening in Belarus and all the people that are being tortured just in this area. Like it doesn't seem to, you know, it does seem to affect me. And
I don't feel
like to extend that.
Do you think they're coming after you?
I'm not thinking they're coming after me.
You keep looking at the door.
Sorry?
You keep looking at the door. Like, is that your experience? Is that how you're feeling right now? Are you having a little paranoia there? I'm asking seriously.
I don't think that I have paranoia in that way, but I do feel the density. I do feel that fear is being inflicted upon people, that people are scared to...
But either you accept that fear or you reject that fear. You don't even have to reject it. Do you feel... You know, I need to get to the meat of this. Is it threatening your area?
potentially it is threatening everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone, you know, my father is an artist. Like people, they can come and search houses randomly. You know, potentially it affects everyone. And even if it didn't, I cannot see myself as separate of it. I do think it affects everyone personally.
It surely does. But it is a time. Sure it does. But it is a time to gather yourself together. The best thing you can do for yourself in times of chaos is gather yourself together and not scatter yourself too far. Are you alone?
At the moment, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about pulling yourself together and bringing yourself into a less fear, a fearless place?
Well, what I was trying to do, No.
You can't try. You know that. Either you do or you don't. Go ahead. What were you doing?
I was creating a post to try to draw people's attention so that we can pray and meditate, because I don't think that to ignore it it doesn't feel right to me. Like there are plenty of people who are ignoring it and like keep on and like cheering up and doing whatever people do, but that doesn't feel like, for me, it just doesn't feel right. So
how do you know they're ignoring it?
Because from what people write, what people speak about, what people do, you know.
Yeah, but maybe that's their way of dealing with it. Maybe that's the way they're coming through, because they're just as concerned as you are in their very own way. Anyhow, that's another topic.
Yeah.
So, I feel you're right. I feel you're right about gathering people for meditation and prayer.
Yeah, and I'm also noticing that this has been such a contrast for my experience with the talk we had last week about pain being illusionary and self-inflicted. And when we spoke about it, I did feel it. It did ring a bell for me, like when you said about illusion, like that it's empty and it's like non-existent. And when we spoke about it, it felt like it touched me. And just a few days later, all these things started to happen. And
it's still true. It doesn't like change. What's actual doesn't shift just because things happen.
Just something in my perception got completely very, very far from that observation.
Okay. That's okay. That's not a problem.
And the pain, it feels very real. And people that
not unreal, but it's not the actuality. But regardless, it's a little too abstract right now, because that settles in its own way, the reality and the illusion of life. I sense that you work in a practical way, like you are, just gather people together for prayer and meditation and get that consciousness moving in that direction.
Mm.
Yeah, the world's a really rough place.
Yeah.
But you calm yourself. You'll do better when you calm yourself. I'm going to tell you this story, then I'm going to stop satsang. I heard this, I heard a young woman at one time, she wasn't a young woman, she was a woman at one time who was talking about World War II in Germany. And she said that she never had fear. And she said she lived in a town where it was completely destroyed. And she said she has never had fear all her life. Caution, yes. Concern, yes. But fearing the events of life, she didn't. And she said the reason she didn't is because when the bombs were dropping on her street, her mother took her downstairs to be safe, and her mother breathed calmly and sang to her in a very lovely way. And she said, because of her mother's calm, it seeped into her, and she never had any fear. And here the bombs were blasting, and she was just a little kid. So there's a lot to calm. There's a lot to calm. And how you get to calm is through breathing. Yeah, let's let it not tip you over. Even though you're concerned, let it not tip you over, okay? You're going to be fine through all of this. You find your calm in it. It'll serve you for the rest of your life. Even though you're concerned, I get that.
Yeah.
I get it. I mean, it's the world is in a huge spot right now.
And it's not only for me, the concern. Like, knowing how many people are tortured and put in prison for nothing, it's devastating. Like, and I cannot just see it as nothing. It just...
I would ask you to see it as nothing, but also to get too involved in it doesn't mean that you're very effective for your own life and for theirs.
Yeah.
To really remain calm, actually, you're probably more effective to the mass consciousness than being too frightened or out of it or scared or anything like that. And I get your point. I get your point totally. I just would like to see you come to calm. Your view is much greater in calm. You're much more effective in calm. You can sleep in calm. And don't take your imagination out there too far. Chant the Gayatri Mantra for the people. We're doing that. Your compassion can be calm rather than too agitated. Okay?
Yeah. Thank
you. Okay. You're welcome. Write to me, Hari Kirtan, and let me know how things are going if you want to, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care of yourself. You know, Rosamund Miller, who was raped 100 times, well over by the time she was 18, she said to think about the torture was worse than the torture itself. She was held in prison for a long time. She was enlightened in prison. You know the story of Rosamund Miller?
Oh, sorry, I don't hear the name. Can you repeat it? I didn't.
Rosamund Miller. If you look up her website, her story is there. I like to tell her story, but the satsang's long now. Mm-hmm. And if you look up Rosamund Miller, mm-hmm. M-I-L-L-E-R, and she lives in Palo Alto, California. She is the bishop, the first bishop of the Magdalena Order since Mary Magdalena. Mm. Very, very, very wonderful lady. Her story is really intense. She enlightened in prison. She was there for a long time. They played Russian roulette on her head. She has quite a story. It may help you. Get a piece of paper and a pencil.
Yeah.
Hurry.
Yeah, I have it.
Okay. R-O-S.
Yeah.
A-M-O-N-D. A-M-O-N-D, Miller, Magdalena Order, Palo Alto, California. She's a really wonderful woman. Fantastic. She's gone through the vice and come out just a radiant heart. So you look her up because I feel her story will be very inspiring for you, okay?
Yeah.
Good time for you to read her story.
Thank you so much.
I love you.
I love you so much.
I love you too. We're not going to be apart right now, huh? We never are, but now we're going to really stay in each other's presence very strong, okay?
Thank you.
Oh, you're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something you need to do here, but it'll be shown. But right now, I would suggest to chant the Gayatri and with all of your heart and soul. And you can change the consciousness around the area through doing that. And make Hari Kirtan calmer. I like your smile. It's beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Namaste. I love you.
I love you too. With all my heart. You're going to be fine. Don't imagine too much. Read Rosamond's story. She was right in there. She was in that torture. You read her story. Then you may, you're, what is compassionate in you can have more of a chance to come out than the fear. Okay? Okay. Okay. I want to see the group here. I want to see who's here. We lost a couple people. There's Sahara. There. Hey. Okay. Hi, Ronnie. Hi, Gangaji. Hey, Kensho and Bhavani and Herman and Gwendolyn and oh my gosh, Margaret and Nandini and Rotrud and Andrea and Sean. And a lot of people aren't showing up on camera, but they are, their names are there. Oh, and Satya Mandir. Hey, everyone. And Davy Abbott in the swimming pool. And yeah. Pranima, there she is. Oh, it's so good. Let me see who else. Ram is there, Priya, Nora Arjuna. Let's see, Hadwin and Robert and Jessica and Kamala and Norma and Sundari. Oh my gosh, that's just one page. And Jivanjali is there and Siddhima is there. And I can't read everybody, but I see everybody. Ludwig, I'm just always so happy to see you. Yeah, Anna. Egil is there in Ireland. Shivani in India, they're also wonderful. Oh gosh, it just does my heart so good. Premvade and Pavan, Sabina and Danielle, Mela Green, and oh gosh, Ati Mati and Bhavata. I have to go because it's been a long satsang. And I'm really grateful to be with you every Sunday. I feel that this is a really wonderful opportunity for us because you know, it may go on all winter long. I'm not going to go to India this year. And first time in 32 years, I haven't gone to India in the winter time. And I'm just so grateful that we can be together. Hey, Surya and Lydia and Shunyata and Mai. Oh my gosh. And Oli, I told the story of the stick. I told the story of the stick. When you remember the story of the stick that you made for me. I told that story the other day. It was such a good story. I love that one. So I'm going to go now. And, thank you, Primo. Thank team. Thank you, Sangha. You have my heart, and that's for sure. Hey, Sylvie, did you enjoy the satsang? I don't know if we can call it enjoy. Yeah. Was it good for you? Huh? Yeah. I'm glad you're here. Okay, all. I have to go. If I don't go through all your photos, I'm not going to do that, but I want to thank you all. Yeah, keep the prayers going. It's a really tough time on earth. And some people are rising very bright. And the brighter you are, the more you have to offer. And it'll take everyone to wake up. Everyone wake up. Because when you do, when you change just the smallest thing and it makes a wonderful result in your life, you're truly serving the world. You're truly serving the world. Om Shri Satche Maha Prabhu Ki Jaya Paramatma Ki Jaya Gurudev Bhagawan Ki Jaya Satcha Sangha Ki Jaya Namaste.
Namaste, Shanti Mai.
Namaste.